Welcome to Sermons from Holy Trinity. Holy Trinity Lutheran Church is committed to the preaching of Jesus Christ crucified and risen for the justification of the sinner by grace through faith for Jesus' sake. And now a sermon from Pastor William Swirla of Holy Trinity Lutheran Church.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Hear again the words of our Lord. I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and have revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. We've caught Jesus in one of those moments in this morning's gospel. He's driven by frustration over the unbelief of his own generation, his own people, folks who should have known better, people who had seen his miracles, people who had heard his teaching. He has just engaged some disciples sent by John who was in Herod's prison. These disciples asked whether Jesus was actually the Christ or should they go and look for someone else. He compares his own generation to a bunch of spoiled brats. We played a flute and you didn't dance. We sang a dirge and you didn't mourn. In other words, you never join the party. You never come to the game. You just sit there on the sidelines with your arms folded and you complain and whine and criticize like a bunch of bratty children. It's too hard. It's too easy. I don't like it. I don't want to play. John came as a religious ascetic, a holy man who neither ate nor drank. And the conclusion about John, he's demon-possessed. And then Jesus comes along after John, and Jesus never misses a party, eating and drinking. And what do the same people conclude? He's a glutton. He's a drunkard. Not to mention that he's a friend of tax collectors and sinners. You can never please the religious types. You can never please them. I really wonder where Jesus would say we fit in. The whiners or the complainers? And then Jesus goes on to chew out the cities that he'd visited and done all sorts of miracles in, saying that the cursed city of Sodom, the city that went up in flames at the time of Lot, would fare better on Judgment Day than the blessed cities of Chorazin, Bethsaida, and even Capernaum, Jesus' base of operations. All those miracles, all that preaching, all those mighty works, and not one ounce of simple faith to show for it. Even the Gentiles of Tyre and Sidon on the coast have more sense than the religious insiders of Capernaum and would have repented long ago, Jesus said, had they been given the opportunity. I wonder what Jesus would say to us Lutherans, especially us lifer Lutherans. I'm one of them too, baptized and raised in the Lutheran church. How many of you guys out here are lifer Lutherans? Who are the lifers? Yeah, there we are. Hate to say it, but sometimes we lifer Lutherans, and Lutherans in general actually, are a little bit like the grandchildren of rich people. Grandma and grandpa, they came to this country with just a few cents in their pocket. They worked their fingers to the bone. And then mom and dad came along and they built on that foundation that grandma and grandpa worked so hard to build. And then the grandkids come along and they don't have a clue as to what a dollar is worth. Sometimes I think that we're the Paris Hiltons of the religious world. We're surrounded by the richest gospel treasure there has ever been, and we're bored with it. We play a flute, we don't dance. You play a dirge, we don't mourn. The tune's too hard. We're not being fed. It's all our parents' fault. Anything but repentance. And all of this drives Jesus to prayer. When Jesus gets frustrated, he turns to his Father in prayer. Our text is Jesus' outburst to his Father. Father, Lord of heaven, thank you. Thank you for hiding the mysteries of your kingdom, the treasures of salvation from the wise and the understanding who are so smart that they think they don't have anything to learn. Thank you for hiding your goodness and mercy from those who think that they have you figured out. Thank you for hiding your wisdom under foolishness, for hiding your strength under weakness, for hiding your victory under defeat. Thank you for revealing these things to the little ones, to little children. Little children. Unless you become one of them, you can't enter the kingdom. And it's not because God won't have you. It's because you won't have him. Little children, receivable, givable to, trusting, dependent, receptive, playful, all those things that we've grown out of. I saw a couple of videos this past week that perfectly illustrate what Jesus is saying in this text, this prayer. The first video Judy tipped me off on, we watched it together. It was that of a little girl who liked to paint, or at least she liked to play with paint. But isn't that what painting is? Playing with paint. Her parents were both artists, and she exhibited an interest in paints and color and stuff at a very young age, around the age of 2, apparently. And so her artist parents gave her a little corner in their studio. And being artists, they had lots of canvas around, so they gave her a bunch of huge canvases and all the paint that she could pour, smear, splatter, brush, whatever. Literally, Judy tells me, thousands of dollars of acrylic paint. And this 13-minute video shows her squirting paint out of plastic bottles, filling her little hands with paint, and clapping her hands just to see what that would do on the canvas. Applying paint with all kinds of brushes and things, pouring paint straight out of the can onto the canvas, making these big amoeba-like puddles of paint where all the colors are running together and morphing. And the thing that impresses you when you look at this video is the look on this little girl's face at the time. I think the oldest is she's about 4. It's quite unforgettable. It is the face of pure joy, intensity, creativity, unadulterated by all the wise and prudent concerns that we adults have. It was literally moving to watch her, and it was amazing to see what she did with all that paint and canvas. To be truthful with you, I don't think I could do this. There was intentionality about what she was doing. She looked at it. She wasn't just throwing paint around. She was looking and then watching to see what happened in terms of color and form and texture. And it was all joy and fun and play. And in the moment, and oh, by the way, her canvases sell for $10,000 a piece. You adults. It was interesting to see the comments on this video from the adults. That's not art. Poor kid, being forced by her parents, being exploited by her parents. You know, so she gets $10,000 a panel. What's the difference between that and a sports scholarship? Except a beautiful painting. That's how we adults are. We look at the joy of a little child in pure creativity and we say, that's not art. Look at all the money they're wasting on that paint. Good grief. And it's all over her clothes. How are we going to get that out? Those paints are toxic. She shouldn't be touching them like that. Unless you become as little children, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven because you are not going to get it. That's why. The second video is that of a 2-year-old girl sitting on her living room floor, singing the Sanctus from Divine Service 4, that hymnic version, along with her father, who is a young Lutheran pastor. And there is exactly the same look, that look of joy, intensity, absorption, discovery, as she sings, "Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of Sabaoth, adored." And you look at her, and she doesn't know that there are adults who refuse to sing this because it's too hard. She doesn't know that. She'll grow up to know that one day, unfortunately. She doesn't care that she doesn't understand what all the words mean, what Sabaoth means. It doesn't mean Sabbath, by the way. It means commander-in-chief of armies, Lord of hosts. Remember that. But none of that took any of the joy out of her face and any of the lilt out of her voice. Unless you become as little children, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. I thank you, Father, that you've hidden these things from the wise and the understanding, from the practical and the pragmatic, from the sophisticated and the opinionated, and you have revealed them to little children, because only a little child would rejoice in such things. You see, that's how faith is with the kingdom of God. Faith is a little child with buckets of paint and a big canvas, not worrying about the cost of materials, not worrying about what the critics say, just pouring paint. Faith is that little girl singing the liturgy with her dad. Faith is dancing when the flute plays and weeping when the funeral dirge begins, rejoicing with those who rejoice, mourning with those who mourn, being open to the world, letting your defenses drop because you're dead and it doesn't matter, having your heart and your mind and your eyes open to the world and to God's great, awesome, abundant goodness and mercy. If you want to experience that, by the way, as an adult, you don't have to watch videos. I'll tell you the best way to understand the childlikeness of faith. Teach a little child. Teach a Sunday school class. Come to the day camp and teach a day of Bible study. Teach them the Ten Commandments, the Creed, the Our Father. Teach them the Bible stories about Jesus. Teach them the Sanctus from Divine Service 4 and 1 and 2 and 3 and all the other parts of the liturgy. They can learn it much better than we can. They are like little sponges that just soak everything up with great joy. They haven't yet learned the cynicism of this world. They haven't become bored in the presence of mystery. And I'm not saying that children aren't sinful. They're as infected with sin as the rest of us. But sin has not yet had its way with their curiosity and their wonder. And little children are great theologians. They're the best theologians. If you spend some time talking the faith with little children, they will pepper you with questions incessantly. And most of the questions begin with, why? Why? Why is a theological question, the question that science can't answer? Spend time with the little ones, and then you will understand why Jesus says that the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. God hides the mysteries of the kingdom from the worldly wise and the prudent understanding. He reveals the mysteries to the little ones of faith. He uses the foolish to shame the wise. He uses the weak to shame the strong. He uses the losers of this world. And little children, by the way, were considered the biggest losers of Jesus' day. You couldn't raise them into adulthood fast enough. He uses the losers to shame the winners of this world. He tucks the mystery of salvation under the deceptive simplicity of baptismal water and pastoral words and Eucharistic bread and wine. And he says, "This is how I save you." The fact is that we poor miserable sinners don't improve with age. We really don't. The Apostle Paul was probably in his 50s when he wrote the epistle to the Romans. He had been a Christian for over a decade. And in chapter 7, where he writes in the first person singular, very unusual. You heard it this morning. Paul speaks of the reality of being a believer in the flesh of Adam. What it means to have the mind of Christ and yet be in the flesh of Adam, or as Luther termed it, to be simultaneously at one and the same time a total sinner and a total saint. He says the good he wants to do with his mind, he doesn't do. And the evil he tries to avoid, that's exactly what he does. When he wants to do good, evil is always right close at hand. And this is not some newbie Christian talking here. And it's certainly not some run-of-the-mill Christian. This is the Apostle Paul, Saint Paul. And at the end of it all, Paul must say, "Wretched man that I am. Wretched man that I am. Who will deliver me from this body of death?" And the only answer there is thanks be to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus came to us. He came to us as a little one, a lowly one, a meek one. He came sent by the Father to be humbled under the law for us, to put sin to death in our flesh, to deal with this fatal, blinding, deafening spiritual disease that robs us of our innocence, our blessedness, and our holiness. Jesus became the little one in our midst. He was rejected. He was despised. He embraced the little ones around him as pictures of faith, not because they were innocent and sinless, but because they trusted, because they were receivable, because they were open, because they were givable to, because they were dependent. Jesus comes to you this morning, and he says the same, "Come to me. Come to me, you who are weary, burdened, broken, miserable, anxious, despairing, fearful. Come to me. You who are laboring under the law, weighed down by that burden of sin that you're trying to carry for yourself, come to me where I have come to you. Come to me in baptism, and I will make you an infant again." That's what baptism does. It makes us all infants again. "Come to me in my word, and I will speak to you forgiveness. Come to me in the bread and the cup, and I will give you my body and my blood, given and shed for you. Come to me, and I will give you rest. Take up my yoke, the yoke of childlike faith, and learn to trust in me. I bore your burden on the cross. Don't you try to bear that burden. I bore it for you. You take my yoke upon your shoulders and you learn from me." That's what Jesus is saying to us here. The Christian life is like that of a little child carrying a heavy load with his big brother next to him. You know who's carrying the load, don't you? Have you ever seen that little boy walking? Got his Grayson and big brother kind of carrying the thing, and the little one's looking like he's struggling and straining, and we all smile. Jesus carries the heavy load, and he lets us walk along with him. His yoke is easy, his burden is light, because he bore our burden. He does the heavy lifting, and yoked to him, you will find the rest that you seek. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus and become little again. Come to Jesus and learn to pour paint on canvas and sing the Sanctus with joy, even if the tune is hard and you don't understand every word. Be born again from above by water and spirit. We baptize infants and adults alike, but in baptism they all become infants, little ones, trusting. Little ones of faith in Christ, children of God to whom the mysteries of the kingdom have been revealed, the hidden things he makes known to little ones. For thus it is the Father's gracious will. In the name of Jesus.
Thank you for listening to Sermons from Holy Trinity. Holy Trinity Lutheran Church is located at 15710 Newton Street in Hacienda Heights, California, and on the web at www.htlcms.org.